How Long Gone from Money Making Manhattan. DJ Them Jeans is somewhat live from beautiful Glendale. Jason, how's your day going so far?
Who, me? Oh, it's going okay. I just woke up, walked the dogs. I had to wait for a window in the rain. So that's tough. But the good Lord blessed us with, you know, an hour of sprinkle-free dog walking so I could listen to different articles that were written about our guest earlier today.
Thank God.
Went to the gym, got it in, bro.
Hell yeah.
There was a little bit of a mishap with my membership. Oh, had to do some yelling at a GM. Didn't feel good about it. I apologized at the end. But now I'm having a spicy cup of Java and just getting ready to start my day of work.
Okay, that's great to hear. Now, can I ask you a question as a non-pet owner? And I don't mean to pry.
Non-pet owner question. Okay, let's go.
So when you walk those two mutts in this kind of inclement weather, do you have to do a paw wipe before you let them back in the house? Or are they raw dogging the dirty paws on the hardwoods?
Well, I hate to say it, but we have to wipe.
Damn.
It is below me, but it's also like,
what are you going to do? Sure.
You know, this dog is going to jump on my bed with the fret
so,
sheets.
So is there a world, but you're not going to get like the barber footies
either? That's too crazy.
Okay. So you'd rather like dehumanize yourself by wiping than dehumanize the dog by putting little yellow galoshes on he or she or they.
I mean, it's kind of good because the dog stuff, like, you start, the first obligation that you have is already the worst, so anything else
beyond
just a bonus. Literally picking up feces piping hot with your bare hands, separated by one Jeff Bezos quarter of a millimeter recycled plastic in between you and my dog's shit. Like, once you get past that, everything else is truly cake. So
that's a good point. Okay.
That's not a good thing at all.
Okay. No, I agree. I just wanted to ask that quickly before we kind of got into the rest of this important podcast.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's all good.
I had a late night last night, so I'm feeling a little less than 110%.
Yeah, we need the review. We got, let's see here. I got how many DMs yesterday from How Long Gone fans who took photos of you in your little, like, dumbass cubbyhole zone where you and other podcasters could watch the show from your pedestal. Is that
that's right? It's called the Podcaster VIP pedestal, and it's something that 1975 has introduced. They're kind of the first. It's the first of its kind in North America.
Okay.
So thanks to those guys. No, I did. Thanks to a friend of the show, George, who plays drums in 1975. He hooked me up, and I was able to take Kobe, who's a longtime fan, to the show. And of course it was attended by fellow podcasters and friends, the Ion Pack, because that's their gang. So yeah, the VIP tent was littered with male podcasters. There were a few women there. Shout out to Anna from Huxley, another person, but that's it. Show was honestly pretty insane, man. I've never seen anything like it. It's kind of like this. It's like a full set. It's like a house, a house cut in half, you know, so you can see inside, like, sure, Broadway style.
Wasn't there like an NSYNC set design like that at some point?
Yeah, I think so. No, yeah, for sure. But it's like the way that,
I'm not saying they invented it or stole it.
The way that it's like the vibe of, like, I believe every single thing was like perfectly choreographed, but you don't really know that as the viewer. And then the thing that is making headlines today is that Maddie during, so there's like this, basically they play the whole new record all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Not every, I think they left out one song maybe, and it's not in order, but they play the whole record and they're in looks and it's like serious and they don't really talk between songs. Then there's this, like, the whole band leaves the stage. Maddie's there alone. He's kind of like acting. And he's watching these TVs, and it's like Ben Shapiro and all these like gnarly politics things on the TVs. And then he takes his shirt off. He's also shredded. I want to give him a shout out for that. Takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Got the obliques are popping. He's doing a quick 50-piece push-ups on the rug watching the TV.
Is this so he bangs out a 50-pack after he smokes a cig?
He's been smoking cigs the whole time. He's been smoking cig. He opens the show by like sitting down at the piano and lighting a cig, you know, classic rock star,
right? Wow.
Rock star behavior.
Love it.
But then, yeah, so then there's just a plate appears with what seems to be a raw T-bone like yeah. Fred Flintstone size T-bone. You know, this is
porterhouse.
Yeah, exactly. And this is definitely from the organic butcher. I would imagine this isn't some kind of, you know, this is grass fed.
I mean, hopefully it's grass fed as well as grass finished.
Yeah, of course.
I know those guys over at the 1975 have their own unique thoughts on seed oils and things like that.
No, that's the thing. I don't want to pigeonhole them. But then
I expect nothing less.
But he takes a bite of this raw steak and then continues to do some more push-ups. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. And then there's all these TVs, and he finally, after he takes a bite of the steak, he just crawls inside the TV and disappears.
Okay.
And then, which I believe it, you know, it's like a trap door or whatever, and then they come back out.
You're not saying that could be a metaphor?
No, are you?
I think
it might be a metaphor because these are heady cats.
Yeah.
Then they come out and they're a little more rambunctious. They play all the hits. I mean, Madison Square Garden was sold out. Everybody knew every word. It was very fun. But I cut out early with the Ion Pack Familia to go to this after party they had planned, where before 10 p.m. there was 500 1975 fans outside that were told they're not going to get in, but they chose not to leave, which is something special. And I went in, I hung out with some people. I was there for an hour and a half, and then I was outside with Rebounder, and I see George and Maddie get out of the SUV to go inside.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just like, oh well, I guess I'll catch them next time, because I had to go home. It was like 12:45. So the show was really good. It was really interesting, and I was glad I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love when bands have an extra three people on stage when the show gets that big. You know, they got the chick on bongos.
Oh, okay.
They got the chick playing the acoustic guitar in every song just to fill it out. You know what I mean?
Just to fill it out.
They got the saxophone player going Clinton mode, like no, like just absolutely shutting it down. So it was fun
really?
To watch.
Yeah, so just like big old stinky saxophone solos and stuff.
Well, the sax is a pretty big part of the new record, I would say, but it feels a little bit, you know, just like Peter Gay. It like works like a Peter Gabriel song or something to me, where it is a solo, but it doesn't stick out to me like some nerdy guitar riffing in the same way.
Sure.
Which is interesting. But yeah, so I had a late night of rocking. But I was able to kind of get up and start my day, but I'm feeling a little, you know, I'm feeling not my best, you know. I didn't smoke a cig. All I did was drink Saratoga sparkling water. They were $7 a piece at the after party. But they at MSG, I was talking to Curtis, and he was drinking this like kind of like big the clear, like an iced coffee cup with that kind of lid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I noticed there's a lime in it, and I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's a $25 vodka soda. And I was like, damn, you're on my ship, bro. You're trying to pay the most you possibly can for something that you know should cost like $7 to $8 max. So I was glad to know that MSG is just raping and pillaging like every venue, every chance they get. Shout out to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Yeah, that's giving me flashbacks to when I went and saw Rosalia, and then they had that fucking some type of Long Island iced tea that costs over $50. And people will pay it. There's no other option.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm glad you had a good time. I'm sad that I missed out on watching our friend of the show eating raw meat. I'm wondering, does he do that every single show, or is that an NYC kind of seed oil truther exclusive?
That's a great question.
Does the TM have to like source a steak every day in every city, and then they have to keep it cool for him?
I'm gonna say yes to all of this stuff. I believe I did confirm, because I confirmed with George, we were texting after the show, and I was like, bro, was that steak real? And he was like, of course it was. Like, I was an idiot for thinking it could have been a prop.
Come on, Chris. Come on.
I know. These guys are method. I apologize.
Well, I want to know like what was going, because I'm just imagining, because he's doing these things. He's smoking a cig shirtless. He's eating a steak raw. These are sort of bygone practices, yeah. Primal activities from the Mad Men era.
Yeah.
Was the crowd of, you know, 1975 stands just ripping their hair out at the sight of him eating raw meat? Was it like a perverse, like overcharged, horny action?
That's a good question. I mean, I think the crowd was definitely, you know, oat milk sippers.
Sure.
But they were older than I thought they would be. Like, they weren't like super, super young. It wasn't like a super young crowd, which was refreshing.
Okay.
Like it was definitely people in their like, you know, 28 to 35, I think would be the majority age range, okay, which I thought it would be younger. So there are people that maybe grew up with parents who ate steak raw, but maybe they didn't, you know, maybe they didn't themselves partake when they were in middle school.
So there's a chance it could have been around it more. Okay. But so when that was happening, obviously when he's like takes his shirt off and lights up a cigarette, the girlies are losing their shit, right?
Yeah, he also did some mimicking of masturbation on a couch.
Right.
Which I also believe the girlies and fellas, honestly, went a little crazy for.
Yeah, you think so? When the Magic Mike simulated masturbation going down at 8:45 p.m. was a winner on a Monday. Of course it's going to go crazy.
Matty Healy went Magic Mike mode last night at MSG. Mm-hmm. He said, thank you for the cash, guys.
Every fifth push-up that he did kind of a little bit of a whale tail, slow back bend kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like a couch fucker kind of action.
Yeah, it was...
The guy's on fire.
The guy was on fire. But yeah, I think we could investigate the steak thing more, and I'm sure that Page Six will do that for us as the tour continues. Mm-hmm. And we will be on the front lines of this reporting, of course, as a kind of honorary food podcast, because of your interest in the culinary arts and your kind of expertise and your good standing in that community. I think we can become the source for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I just think that, sure, the tomahawk steak, the T-bone... These are great. They're high dollar ticket items. Everyone loves them, but there's so many other mm-hmm. kind of lesser known steak cuts that he could be working on. You know, the hanger, the skirt.
Okay, so, but I think that part of the appeal of this cut and this particular style of steak is that it looks right. comically like a
it's
steak.
Primal.
You know, it looks mm-hmm. like a. It looks like a cartoon steak.
Gotta be a visual cue.
It looks like something I would put on my eye after getting knocked out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think that's maybe part of the appeal. I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't able to investigate the flavor profile myself, nor have I spoken to him about it. But I think that, you know, it did look like it took a long time to chew his bite.
Okay. Hopefully, he had some beef liver jerky in the mix as well to kind of choke that down with some bulletproof yeah. Broth.
Yeah, no.
Is this broth bulletproof? Yeah.
What a nice just pregame snack. You know, it really gets this tummy settled before you hit the stage.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was something to behold, though. I'll tell you that. And I mean, it got tails wagging. You know, I literally did see a Page Six story about it. And I'm like, what's the crossover here? I think it's just that somebody ate raw meat in public is really, it could have been anybody, but luckily there were 17,000 people there to watch it, you know, so
yeah.
So
Page Six but cares. I mean, you know, it's such a sexy kind of perverse,
yeah.
naughty act. It's just positively salacious, if you ask me.
I mean, I agree. I love salacious acts. So.
As a member of the Tartar community, I had to speak up.
Yeah. This is bullshit.
Not even a cornichon.
But it's gotten the temps dropped in big NYC, so I'm kind of stumbling through my closet trying to find the appropriate outerwear for all of the activations. I'm seeing a Mardeep for dinner tonight. We have a couple parties tomorrow night before I finally leave. So it's pray for me and my closet and my outerwear selections, because I don't really have everything available at my fingertips the way I would like to.
There's some great outerwear on check out therealreal.com. They okay. have tons of savings with the promo code REAL. You'll get 20% off most styles.
Okay. Okay.
And what you'll want to do is expedite that shipping. Sure, you know, just sure. buy you a couple days in case you need to get something tailored for your sort of protruding chest that you've been
okay, yeah. I have to
really
go to my,
banging out lately.
I have to go to my tailor and ask him to let the chest out on all of my shirts and jackets and even some sweaters.
Yes.
Hey, Jason, we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. You're eating at restaurants you don't want to eat at all the time to appease myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who used your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors very close to you and instantly book appointments with them online. Just like when I'm looking for new shoes on my sites, you can filter specifically, see which doctors take your insurance, located near you. Maybe find a doctor that's far away from you for personal reasons you don't want to disclose.
I use ZocDoc, and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Chris and I are going to the country of Georgia in a month or so, and they have a very unique language, and I will be using Babbel to try and just get a little bit of action so I can know how to order my cold brew lattes and things like that in a way that's actually science-based. Don't spend hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons. They're handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new lingo in as little as 3 weeks.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off at babbel.com/howlong, spelled BABBEL.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Babbel.
It's election day. I don't know if you've noticed. Have you been online today, Jason?
A little bit, yes. I've been online. I noticed that people are voting. I think that there's a very polarizing vote going on in Los Angeles right now with a friend of Diplo and Gwyneth Paltrow, Mr. Caruso.
Caruso, the mall magnate who people don't like except rich celebrities, seem to like him quite a lot. And I mean, this is how it goes because from what I understand, his platform is basically like, I want to clean up the homeless. I don't know how much kind of nomad-y, how much meat there is to chew on that plan, or if he's just kind of saying, that's my thing, that's what I'm going
to
do.
I wonder if anyone is ever going to stop falling for, I'm going to end homelessness. And everyone's like, about time, because homelessness is bad.
You know what?
And then when they get into office, he's like, I'm actually just going to use my power to open more outdoor malls that have sugar fishes in them. And that will make homeless people in that specific area of Sherman Oaks.
They will be displaced.
Go away.
Yeah, it's like when I run for president and my whole platform is just, I'm going to lower taxes. You know, let's not get into the nitty gritty, but I'm going to just take them down.
Dude. I actually think that taxes are too high. So if you did that, I would vote for you.
Okay, I'm glad. See, look, I'm doing this hand to hand combat style.
But it doesn't get anywhere to be a pessimist of just like, hey guys, we are all just kind of watching a soap opera or WWF wrestling, but it's our fake lives at play versus a fictional world, but. You know, it's kind of hard not to, but you should stay hopeful and you should try to realize that there are good people in the world out there that you should vote for who really want to do good things.
I agree. And that's why Katy Perry put herself. This is my whole thing with these fucking celebrities, man. As much as I love them, I just don't understand why they can't just they're so deeply compelled to share what they're doing. They're also so in the clouds, they don't realize that there's going to be a lot of negative blowback to what they do. I always use the example of the Kardashians going on vacation during COVID and posting on Instagram. Like if you didn't post that, no one would know you went. Katy Perry, you could donate $5 million to Caruso, vote for him. You can get your hot, dumb husband to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And you could have done all of that, supported your candidate, done what you need to do. But instead you posted a selfie in a hat. With your ballot in view, with your ballot clearly in view, and now you're getting killed on the internet by the libs that did like you before, you know?
Yeah.
And I just don't know how that compulsion stops.
What happened to the, I mean, I guess like, because there was a lot, like when Trump got voted in, a lot of people voted for him in secrecy and didn't tell a single soul.
And that's how it should be.
Every, you know, all of our parents, you know, stuff like that. Not my mommy, of course. My mommy hate Trumpy, but you know, it's that was the good old days. But now, I mean, is there a situation? I mean, I guess I'm answering my own question when I'm asking now. But like, is there a situation where Katy Perry really doesn't know all the bad stuff, or just she just doesn't care, or she's just
I don't think
like okay, this billionaire who has a lot of red flags going on in the world is going to be voted into office, have extra power. That could be quite bad, but
quite bad.
Like how much is homelessness affecting Katy Perry's life to where this has to go down?
Katy Perry lives 2 miles from any road to begin with. I don't think she's really encountering this unless she goes down to the Target or something. You know what I mean?
The only place she's seeing homeless people are in Las Vegas at her residency, and that's out of Caruso's jurisdiction anyway. So.
Exactly. That's not going to affect the bottom line. I think that it's more just like...
It's probably a tax thing, too, for the ultra wealthy, you know?
Yeah. When you're so detached from reality, I think that you don't... I don't think you consider the things that other people do. You know, I think you're like, I like this guy and I'm going to post it on my Instagram the way somebody with 100 followers would.
Right.
And
right,
that right. That's the problem. You're so out to pasture that you don't realize it's just, again, I think you should do whatever you want. And if you just don't tell anybody about it, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is going to affect your bottom line.
Yeah. She's it makes fucked. Me wonder because like there's somebody like Katy Perry probably listens to like Joe Rogan or
definitely
you know stuff like that, but she would never admit that publicly because she has you know this fan base full of people who are going to be very anti Joe Rogan, so that's going to cut into her fan base. But is it what's the blind spot on you know crooked politicians? Why has that not even crossed the mind?
Because the thing is with politicians is that part of politics in general is support from your constituents. You know, that's like mm-hmm. you donate money, you put a sign in your yard, you talk like talking about it
yeah.
is baked in so deeply that I think we're all conditioned to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're fucking famous and you rely on the goodwill and money of those same constituents, you kind of got to watch what you're posting. You know what I mean? And I just don't think that also, if you don't want to watch it, Katy Perry, because you're fucking zooted, like eating whipped cream or whatever you do on a Tuesday, like you have like 30 people that are on your payroll that should stop you from doing this.
Right.
And that's where the blame should really lie. I don't expect Katy Perry to know better. I expect the manager, the day-to-day manager, the assistant.
PR.
Yeah. There's too many lines of defense that should stop Katy Perry from posting that. And, you know, posting your ballot is technically illegal, you know, and I don't want, I would hate for the LA Sheriff's Department to kind of pick up on that and go knocking on doors over there. That would not be great for Katy or Orlando.
Yeah. I guess the problem is, you know, all the candidates who are good and want to do good are just so boring and it's never going to happen in 2022, you know?
Now, well, this country is in many ways a popularity contest. And if somebody is funny or bombastic
yeah.
or even just baseline entertaining, that can be enough to win a political office.
Howlonggone.com. Check it out.
It's like that should be enough to win America's Got Talent. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It should not be enough to be the president of the United States or even a low-level city council member or for God's sakes, not the school board. Where does it stop?
City know? Comptroller?
Yeah, not the comptroller, bro. Not the pencil pushers. They're even freaks these days. But yeah, it is. It's really amazing that we've gotten to this point where entertainment kind of supersedes all other qualities that we want in leaders. And that used to be strictly kind of partitioned for actual entertainers. Like that's what you'd want them to do. But now we need you to basically, if you're a politician, you got to give a tight five on DeSantis before you get into your policies.
I guess it's interesting that people, they've sort of given up on politics, but they haven't given up on cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, no, we should be watching these important films and we should be giving space for these intelligent conversations. And, you know, this is a very heady movie or book or whatever, you know, symphonic score, but it's important to do that. But with the people that are running our world, just like, lol, whatever, who cares kind of thing. Which, I mean, I guess you got to draw the line somewhere, or you got to just say fuck it at some point. Like, I still have to enjoy whatever life I have left in me.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But it's a funny time to be in this beautiful country. You know, as the seasons change, as the midterms are coming in.
Yeah, you can't spell midterms without mid.
Dead ass. And I saw some other stuff online today that one of our favorite politicians here at How Long Gone, AOC, she had to apologize for not having her pronouns in her Instagram bio.
Oh, damn.
That I know. And that's something that I kind of want to call her out for here on this show. And she said that she's corrected it, which I'm happy about. But let's just keep an eye on this, Jason.
She corrected it. Hopefully she has not added the Mastodon link as well into her pronouns.
Let me just say this right now. It's gotten bad enough in these links. First, it was like you're posting a red dot about what city you were in that week. Then it was the city name with the airline to the other city name, depending on where you're going to go. Now it's your encrypted fake Twitter link that has hit your bio. And I went, you know, Jason, I actually went and checked out Mastodon to see what all the hubbub was about.
Really?
I did. I typed it in and I went to the site and it was like, pick a server, and I immediately X'd out. You're telling me, bro, you're telling me you want me to pick a server. Like, that's crazy.
The year 2022.
I don't even know what a server
and I'm
is.
Picking servers?
I don't even know what a server is. Like, that isn't that some, that's like rooms in the suburbs that have fans in them and a bunch of computers. I don't deal with that stuff. That's somebody else's problem.
The only server you know works at Houston's. Name's Daryl, and they're going to give you a refill on your iced tea unless you say otherwise.
Daryl's been the best. I always kind of try to give 25% because he always brings me a kind of paper napkin for my gum without having to ask. And I think that's kind of that's good service.
Yeah. Picking the server, you know, it's giving kind of World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're past.
I was talking to Kyle Chayka because he's writing a story for The New Yorker about this Twitter stuff that's going on. All these people fake leaving like it's, you know, like they're going to Canada when Trump got elected or whatever it may be. And it's just like,
have fun on this dumpster fire.
Yeah. That's literally the vibe. I'm like, do you guys really think Mastodon.exe is going to be the vibe? Like, do you really think that's what we're going to, like, the beauty of I understand people don't like Twitter for the reasons that they have, and I think there are obviously issues with it, but the fact that people, like I said this on Twitter the other day, it's like, this is not a community, you idiots. This is just some dumb shit that we do. Like, why do you take it so seriously? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like all funny to me. And if it goes away, I'll be upset because I like to use it. But I'm not going to go use some bum-ass replacement when it's still perfectly fine.
Yeah, your first mistake was using Twitter as a community.
I can't fix stupid. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's a crazy way to look at something like this. And I'm just like, dude, Twitter's funny until it's not funny, I guess. And then you'll move on to something else. But it's like, I don't think that these, like, I just don't understand the way that people react to stuff like this. Because it's like, these are all people that shop at Amazon and Whole Foods and Apple. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same shit I say all the time. It's like, you go to the top of anything, it's going to be somebody bad.
It's fucking right, bro. Even Caruso.
even when I go to Jason's favorite cheesecake and try to order a Diet Coke, I know that the devil is making money off of it.
Get down or lay down with the devil. Yeah, so I was sad to have missed the New York City Marathon. Did you see any performative, emotional posts about that?
That's all
about the beauty of the art of running.
That's all I fucking saw. You know what this is, man? It's like, first of all, running the marathon is an incredible accomplishment, a personal achievement that should be applauded. And that's kind of where it ends.
Yeah. Like, as long as you stay under a 5-minute mile, I agree with you, Chris.
Yeah. As long as you do sub 3 hours and you're in the elite category, I'm impressed by you.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, there's people saying they were crying because they were overcome with emotion watching someone run on pavement in Bed-Stuy. That just seems
so not overcome with emotion because they finished a marathon, but they were just sitting on the street, you know, giving high fives and
yeah,
coconut water.
They made a stupid, clever sign about Keith McNally, and they were having a mimosa with their girls while they handed people water in paper cups on mile 14, I guess. It's the same kind of person, and I'm sure I associate with them some of these people by accident, that would cry when a sports team won or lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, why are you so invested in someone else's shit? Like, this isn't you haven't done anything. how can you be that moved by something that you have nothing to do with?
Unless you had 30 large on the, yeah, on the Bucks, we should not be crying at a sports game.
Yeah, I just...
I understand if it's like, if you're watching some football and it's just like, you know, you're some dinky little team from some little rundown town and you end up beating Arsenal or in the final or whatever, and it's like this crazy like 30 for 30 story and we want to drop a couple tears, that's fine. But when like the Rams beat the Chargers,
yeah, dude,
we don't need the tears. There should be other things in your
like,
life.
I just
going
don't
on.
I'm just like, I don't understand. And it's like, this is the best day in New York. It's the best day in New York. I'm like, really? Because it's kind of hard to get around. They shut down streets. It's, you know, it's,
I think you know that the times are kind of bleak when people are using a marathon as a way to create content.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, you know, it's just like a new thing, like, oh, the marathon's going on today. And people are so desperate for content creation, they're like, oh, great. Now I can go make a clever sign.
Yes.
You know, and I'll hire my photographer to take pictures of me holding up the sign. And then I will feel good for the next 3 hours when people double tap it.
Yeah, but I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it twisted, because running a marathon, like I said, is incredibly impressive for the person running it, and maybe their close friends and family that have had to deal with their training schedule, diet, etc. Mm-hmm. But to be like a hungover, washed up DJ in Brooklyn cheering on people you don't know, it's just like, okay, congrats, dude. Like, I mean, I guess it's cheaper than going to a Knicks game, but like, I just don't. The people are, man, we're losing it, dude. We're just losing it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I like the cheering. It's good, but save the cheering for your friends and family, people that you actually care about. Don't care about people that you don't care about.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not even saying don't go do it and support the runners. I'm just saying don't talk about it like it's at some like Oscar-worthy performance that brought you to tears. Like, that's what I... Mm-hmm. But it reminds me when people are like, you know, my son drew a jail and said Putin should be here. Like, it's the same kind of... It's the same kind of thing where it's like, did you actually cry, Chief? Are you saying you cried because you know it's going to do numbers, mm-hmm, on Instagram and Twitter? That's the real question.
Yeah, that's my favorite content of all time, is when you could tell that this tweet was definitely fake. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can just come up with an idea and tweet it. You don't have to frame it in the tense as if it happened to you personally.
I would say sometimes it's bordering on child abuse. You know, if you're claiming...
It's exploitation.
If you're claiming that your toddler did something they didn't do for you to receive likes on a social media platform, I think we should kind of institute a fine for that, because that's not cool.
Small fine.
That's not cool.
Nothing crazy. Yeah, I mean, also, name a five-year-old that doesn't know how to draw jail cell bars. It's one of the easiest things in the world to draw. It's just three lines.
It's like
vertical lines going up and down.
That don't impress me much.
You know, it don't impress me much.
So your kid, just because your kid can say Putin because you leave MSNBC on all day, doesn't make them Picasso.
This was George Clooney's kid. Is that who it was?
Yeah, Amal. The wife claimed this happened.
And you know that kid ain't pronouncing Putin correctly.
No,
fucking it up.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way. But yeah, it's been a tough day in the Big Apple. But I mean, we've done another podcast, so I guess things could be worse.